Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And you already know it's our hope that we'll encourage you and raise your expectations and things in your life that you're trying to do better in. As you know, the way we work, we are a kind of a family, and every week people ask about this, and it's always exciting when you can introduce people who are your friends. And you know, we got a great team here. Dr. Paul Hall is with us tonight, as always. He's a retired pastor, a theologian, a great man of God, knows a lot about the scripture and has great insight to share with us. We also have Commander Rob and Nancy Hansen, who is a Top Gun trainer, flew a F-14 Tomcat, and was a squadron leader, one of those men out there protecting our nation when we didn't even know it.
I've never seen these people before in my life. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, I'm glad you were there, that's for sure. Okay. Also, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer, who Dr. Craig is a trauma surgeon, the head surgeon at his hospital, who takes care of the people in ways that are just beyond us. You've heard some of those ways. And of course, Stephanie is a national health and wellness coach, and helps you to understand all about yourself, not just what you eat, but how you get to that point also. So we're really blessed with this group of people, and we're glad you're with us tonight. Now, tonight, you probably know already, we're excited to have with us Pastor Cliff and Jeannie Poe. Been married 46 years, and they're only 29, I asked them. But they've been married a long time, and they're going to share with us. Cliff is, I'm going to tell you, he's my brother-in-law, and I'm going to tell you that, but you need to listen anyway, because he's really neat. So you're going to enjoy this. And my sister, Jeannie Beth, she's also going to be sharing. Jeannie has done so many things in the area of medicine, and they are in a company which they put together called Infuse Life. They're both certified master coaches in the area of marriage and family. And you probably read about that this week. I've had an awful lot of great responses from you. They live with their wonderful golden retriever, Candle, and a bad-to-the-bone cat. So it's going to be an exciting time as we hear about their ministry, what they do. And just before we start also, I want to share something with you. I want to thank you, so many of you who have begun to give, to help donate. We're a sponsor, a listener-supported show, as you know. Some of you have been beginning to give in a wonderful way. You've been reading our family report. You're enabling us to help others, to reach out and encourage. We want to be the voice of encouragement with biblical, conservative, traditional family values. And you know what? They still work today. That's what they're all about. So we just want to say thank you, because once we get going, I might forget to say that, and I want to make sure you know it. And if you want to give and share with the program, just go to our website, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. There's a little tab up there. Tap on that tab, and we thank you, and all the listeners we're helping, I hope you know they thank you also. So, again, Rob, I'm not going to use that French term again, but I just kind of have to. Sound so classy, you know, with no further ado, isn't that impressive, Cliff? I thought that was pretty good using that one. I was all asleep, but anyway, it's kind of an interesting term. With no further ado, I want to introduce to you, and the way we work this is we open it up, we let our special guests share for a moment and the things that they would like to talk about, and then we open it up, kind of the old-fashioned FDR fireside chat, where we sit down and we just talk. And it's been something that a lot of you have shared back to all of us. We really appreciate. So, Cliff and Jeannie Poe coming to us all the way from Woodlands, Texas. That is near Houston in South Central Texas, if you're not positive of the geography there in the big state of Texas. And they're here to share with us tonight. So, Cliff and Jeannie, we love you. We're glad you're here tonight. Welcome to Raising Expectations. And I'm going to pass this to you on behalf of everybody. Let's all welcome them to Raising Expectations. We're glad you're with us tonight.
Welcome.
Got a hand clap and look at that one. That's pretty good.
I learned it in school.
I just want to say to begin, I'll be far more comfortable if you will lower your expectations for tonight.
Let's change the name of the show. Lower expectations. That's perfect.
Takes the pressure off. I was remarking to her just a few minutes ago. I was thinking back onto when we first met, when I first met you and Dr. Paul. It will be 50 years ago.
You were going to say that.
Yeah.
50 years. Whoa.
Wow. And so this whole marriage thing, you know, you're the one who tied the knot, and Paul was one of our groomsmen. So you're kind of responsible for this. So I just.
Yeah. Well, we want to know who Paul got set up with as far as the bridesmaids. Okay. We want blackmail stories. Okay.
He's not moving. Something happened.
Yeah. He's still. Sorry.
Come on, Paul. Smile.
And by the way, Joe, I'm sorry, Jeannie can't be related to you because she's so much better looking than you are.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Just saying.
That's right. Just saying. That's a fact.
Not sure, but
she don't want to say anything. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we've been married 46 years, and we tell everybody we've had two marriages. Mm-hmm. The first one lasted 17 years until it all fell apart because we didn't have an idea or a clue of what we were doing, other than we were making a living, raising kids, but we didn't know how to do marriage, really.
We were we would call an executive marriage. We had it all together on the outside, but on the inside, we were two individuals running around in the same house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We both had some baggage and damage that we had not dealt with, and therefore, you know, didn't really have true intimacy and all of that. So anyway, we had our 17-year marriage. It fell apart. We went to counseling. The counselor told Jeannie to divorce me. So that was wrong. And we decided,
I actually saved it because I went, no, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, she's just hard-headed enough. You know, the Schofield coat of arms is four bullheads. So, anyway, she was living up to the family name, and she determined that we were going to make this marriage work. So we got the tools we could. We talked to people. We went to seminars, and one in particular changed our lives individually, which impacted our marriage. And that's kind of the foundation of the seminars that we do now. So because we know that there's oftentimes not real practical help, particularly if you're an emergent situation, kind of in a 911, you don't have time for long-term counseling, although that might be beneficial to you later. Yeah. So we're kind of the crisis intervention 911 ministry or program that helps couples who are in real trouble. Just last week, we were in Atlanta. Well, I was. You can stay home. We also do a seminar called Love Recon. And Love Recon is for anybody who wants to better their relationship, and regardless of their ability to pay. We're a nonprofit, so we make sure anybody who wants help Several results in Atlanta last week. So I'm still kind of pumped about that. Oh, yeah. So that's what we do. In the in-between seminars, we do the marriage and life coaching. We enjoy doing purpose coaching for individuals, and we enjoy doing couples coaching for couples.
Okay, so this doesn't resemble the Navy SEALs basic underwater demolition school, including Hell Week after week four. I just want to make sure.
So, I don't know. It's 4 days.
Well, or does it? Yeah. Probably less water, less sand, less cold. Maybe.
Well, let me throw this out. You know, we believe that the relationship between the husband and wife is central to the home. And as that relationship goes, so goes the household, so goes the family. So we think that the priority in working with marriages and families is, first of all, the couple. And, you know, Jesus said, well, actually in Genesis, it says that, you know, a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. Jesus quotes that. Paul quotes that. It's used five times in the Bible. So that must be God's plan for marriage, is that we leave and we cleave. And to me, that means that relationship between the husband and wife is the relationship, the primary relationship in the home. And so first off, you know, we think that that should be the priority. So I just kind of be interested, too, to hear what you guys think about how do you prioritize your relationships? What kind of things do you do or do you think work that you found that have worked that help you keep your relationship a priority?
Who wants to go first?
I don't want to start.
We'll go. I'm down for this. So one of the things in our house, we're believers, and I used to have it actually on the mirror, but I took it down. There was a sermon our pastor gave us once, and it was God, spouse, children, everything else. And so one of the things that we've noticed in society is that children come first. And then what typically happens, I don't know if this is where you guys got at the 17 mark, but the kids are leaving and you don't know each other, right? It all revolved, it worked, but because it was more like a business than a relationship. And so one of the things that I'm really grateful for my husband is he does little things all the time. Maybe it's making coffee. Maybe it's leaving me a little note with a heart on it. It's not hard to show that you love someone, but if you take that little intention, and so we've kind of, I think, just made it like a goal that somehow each other knows that we love each other in the day. And that goes a long way.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's the little things that it's not taking the big vacation, you know, and ignoring each other the rest of the year. It's all those little things in between. I believe you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sorry, Craig, go ahead.
No, you're going. Go.
Oh, well, my story had to do with 20 years on active duty in the Navy and being gone so much. And my first marriage failed. And I beat myself up at about it. I felt guilty. I felt responsible. And I was just gone. And every time I'd come home after several six-month separations, we just didn't seem to have anything in common anymore except two great little girls. And fortunately, they turned out great in spite of me being their dad. And Nancy has been a godsend and has been working with me to solidify our relationship and the relationship I have with my daughters, who both love Nancy, which is incredible because that was, you know, first divorce was 23 years ago, I guess. And after my Navy time, there was a second marriage, but that didn't work out so well either. So anyway, I rescued dogs. Third time's a charm. And we still have dogs, so that worked out good too. She likes dogs.
Well, we've only been married for 2.5 years, so, you know,
Well, going on our 30th anniversary, 30 months.
30 months. We celebrate every month of our anniversary.
Yeah.
We go out to dinner or we don't cook and bring something in to celebrate every month because, you know, we're older.
Yeah.
We don't know how many years we go. We have, you know, we may not have 30 years, but we can do every month like it's our anniversary, and that's what we do. So
I love that. Yeah, that's good. Good. I like that.
Yeah, I think for me, it's a combination of things. So I'm kind of an old school male, so I believe in courting. You know, I'll teach my boys to do the same thing. And I believe in keeping your marriage alive with dating. You know, we'll go on date nights. And
date nights.
The other thing I think I've discovered is there's a movie called The War Room, and that really works. When you put up your prayers on the wall written, everybody in your family knows your brain, so they can pray for you, and it, you know, they know what you're praying for, or what you're worried about, or what's on your mind. So I think that connection is huge.
Marriages go through seasons, and it's important that we cultivate and understand where our mate is coming from. And the biggest thing is there's no cookie cutter marriages. I mean, everybody writes a book and everybody follows the, well, I'm following the lines. We're being human doings instead of human beings in the moment. Mm-hmm. And it's understanding where your mate is coming from, first of all, knowing their love languages.
Right.
Communication, open and honest, authenticity. And it doesn't matter whether your marriage makes sense to anybody else, as long as it's going on firing on all cylinders, that is it. And people appreciate that. And it's, we see it all the time in working with couples. They get in there and say, well, change, you know, after I married him, he just completely changed. I don't know what the heck happened. And most of the time we have to say, well, wait a minute, where'd you drop the ball? Because we've got to get into these love wars and make our marriage a priority, because then it then becomes the building blocks for successful families, whether they're blended or the same family that you've had all your life.
I think she makes a point about, you know, I think we should each become an expert about our mate.
Absolutely.
What are her love languages?
Do you know?
Go ahead.
So she's words of affirmation and quality time. So what are mine?
High five. Your physical touch and acts of services.
Mm-hmm. Can you bring me a drink? Here we go.
All right. Vodka, right?
And personality, you know, personality is huge. What Dr. Gottman says, most of our relationship issues cannot be resolved because they're rooted in personality. So what we have to do is learn how to appreciate the differences, work around the differences, make the differences work for us. Because some of those things are just not going to change, and it's futile to try to change it. So, become the expert about her or about him. We're currently starting to find out about Enneagrams. I don't know if you guys know about those, but it's a personality thing. And it's one of the most extensive I've ever seen. So we're kind of excited about more about ourselves and even about each other. But to me, prioritizing your life so that you become the student of your mate and know everything you can possibly know about them. Live with understanding of your mate. Yeah.
And one thing that we adopted is a mantra that we use all the time. And it's, I don't have to, but I get to. Because you mean that much to me. And if you have that mentality, a lot of times you become more selfless instead of selfish. And it doesn't mean, you know, sometimes he wants to do something that's really not on my idea for fun. But by saying, fine, we're going to do that and throw myself 100%, I end up enjoying that. But then it's being that playmate that he needs.
Hey, Cliff, talk a little. That's good. You need maybe mention some, like I know you do, about, oh, by the way, Cliff, your book, do you have it right there?
Yep.
Oh my goodness! I almost forgot
this
your
book. Happened to have a
this is your.
It's kind of backwards, so. It,
so here we go. Backwards.
But anyway, 40 days to a thriving relationship, and basically, what this is, it's a 40-day plan with topics every day for you to sit down and discuss, and it. It's sort of like the Love Dare in a way, but not really, because it's more about interacting, not doing things for your mate, but interacting with them. And so every day for at least 15 or 20 minutes, that's really about all it takes. Uh-huh. There's an exercise for you to do, something for you to share about, talk about. There's a scripture to go along with it. And anyway, we ourselves... you know, just compile the book, and Jeannie and I are going through it right now. And there have been some really good moments that we didn't think, you know, that surprised us. They were serendipitous kind of moments.
It's a big word.
I know.
serendipitous.
By intelligent people here. So. Yeah.
And one thing I also like to, especially when I'm counseling with women, is basically say, you cannot fall into being a human doing all the time. You have to be a human being, because a human being feels and understands and is empathetic and understanding and those sorts of things. And kindness is huge, because and validation, because people don't validate enough. And 9 times out of 10, when the nagging happens, when the fights happen, and when the needs aren't being met, it's because we're not actually in the moment, and we're not actually being the person. Mm-hmm. We're a human doing. I got to get this done. I got to do that done. I got to get this done. Oh, wait a minute. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? And it's just like, where did we fall apart in the middle of it?
Yeah, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans, right? Yeah, one of the things my dad taught me, and he was a World War II B-24 pilot in the South Pacific, and he met my mom when he was 30, and he said, when I was a teen, he said, you know, the most important thing in a relationship is you have to like each other. And that was one of the best things I'd ever heard anybody say about relationships. You got to like each other. You know, the whole love thing and kiss, kiss, nudge, nudge, and all that. That's wonderful and beautiful and leaving little, you know, hearts here and there and stuff. But do you like each other? I think that's kind of important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to the four?
Yeah. One of the things. Well, I'll back up. One of the things that we work with couples to help them to do, to help them keep their marriage a priority, is to do what we call the four dailies. And so it's in this daily dyad, like I was talking about in the book.
There's, a dyad is two people talking, by the way.
Yeah. A dyad is when you face one another, look each other in the eyes, and you have a conversation. And ironically, by the way, some research has shown that couples only interact on that level for about 7 to 10 minutes a week. And it's really a shame.
Do you know if it's the same with children?
I'm sorry?
Do you know if it's the same with children?
No, I really don't. I think that was just...
I'm curious if it trickles down.
Yeah, yeah, possibly. So anyway, so what we do is you turn and you face one another, and the first thing you do is admire or appreciate your mate, and tell them what you admire or appreciate about them and how it makes you feel. So to admire them is to talk about their character, a character quality they have, compassion or perseverance or whatever it might be. And then to appreciate them is just simply to thank them for something they have done that's made your load lighter or blessed you or, you know, in some way benefited you. You just say thank you.
Like put the trash bag in the trash can when you get the trash out.
Yeah. Toilet roll out, not in, right? Very important. Okay?
Okay. We're going to do...
Happy wife, happy life.
There you go.
Happy spouse.
Well, happy toilet roll, happy life, yeah, right?
Happy spouse, happy house.
Yeah. That's better.
Okay.
Actually, Stephanie brings up a really important point, because I think the reflection of the relationship of the parents does trickle down to the kids. And when the kids and they're paying attention, believe me, between mom and dad, And if they're all getting along or not, the kids are going to know. And they're going to know more than you could possibly imagine.
I think a point that you make, to your point, actually, I will make this one. Kids are born naturally with crap detectors, and they get it when their parents aren't functioning.
Yep.
And when there's this friction or this air about the house or what have you, then their whole world becomes unsolved. And mm-hmm. then they will either do one or two things, try to control it, or they'll act out because they're out of control. And mm-hmm. so that's a very good point to remember. How we relate to one another and how we speak to one another, how we carry ourselves with one another and hang together on decision making with them is huge. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do the first one?
Well, we could. All right. So
we haven't had our diet today.
What do you admire or appreciate about me?
Tell me what you admire about me.
I know there's Jenny.
No. What I really did appreciate today is that we took time to walk, because you know that that's important to me, and it's not just walking casually, being intentional about our walk and what have you. And it was a good day today, and it started up, and I did make and went over my steps and everything else that I wanted to do. So that made me feel like you took time out of your schedule so that we could have that time together, and it also filled my quality time.
Good.
So, high five.
Ready?
Two for one.
Okay. So, what I appreciate is you surprised me with lunch, because you took what we had yesterday for the Super Bowl and you made it into this Greek feast. I don't know how you turned a Mexican fajita into a Greek.
They use a lot of things.
Anyway, tzatziki and all that stuff. So, it was really good, and it was a surprise. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. So, Nancy, what do you appreciate about Rob? What do you admire or appreciate about Rob?
Nothing.
No, actually, Paul, I think, was getting ready to talk here for a minute.
Paul, you talk for a minute.
Yeah.
Give me a minute.
Nancy's going to need about a month or two to answer that. So I think Paul might be in a good position right now. He said knowingly.
Paul's on a phone, and I think we're having a little trouble with the volume. We're picking up some static.
All right.
Up a note saying pick up the eggs and two dozen eggs and milk on the way home. I think I don't know what that was.
So, okay, great.
So go ahead, Nancy.
What do I appreciate about you? I appreciate you getting up in the morning when the dogs are barking, going crazy, and you say, turn off the fan. You turn off the fan mm-hmm. and say, just sleep a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just things like that.
How does that make you feel when he does that?
Yeah, he does that. Hard. He gets up, takes care of the dogs, says, mm-hmm. just stay in bed, mm-hmm. relax.
Yeah, and we have kind of large dogs, so it's kind of a challenge.
Multiples.
Yeah, and we have scars and blood and okay, I'm not supposed to talk about that. Okay. But she appreciates my bleeding.
Part of it.
Yeah, she appreciates the blood I shed for the dog.
So how do you feel, Nancy, when he does that? And look at him when you tell him that.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, I am serious.
I love it. And he
good.
Knows it. He knows it.
Yes. There you go.
He knows it.
Yeah.
And he does. He just stay in bed, take care of all this, and he takes care of it. And yeah. I appreciate it.
Yep. I suppose you're going to ask me the same thing, right, about Nancy?
No. Why not? Go for it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have to look at you. Okay. Yes. What I think, okay, I want you guys. What I believe with Nancy is that, and she probably thinks similarly, is that I let her be her, and she lets me be me. And we don't really have any conflict, because I think we give each other enough space to be who we are separately. You know, in the morning, Nancy wants to read the paper, check the news. I got to check all my right-wing extremist websites for articles from the Federalist and stuff like that. And it's all done separately, along with the dogs. But I think that's one of the important things that results in us getting along so well is that we let each other be each other, and we don't try to change each other. And I think because of that, I think we complement each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Good job. Next time, say the first person to her when we're not on the program.
Nancy.
I heard Paul.
I hear Paul.
Paul, can you?
He's not moving.
Yeah, we can't get him to come in. It's not coming through.
Man.
Oh, everybody on three. Oh.
Let's go to Christmas.
There's somebody with the fire. Appreciate that, Craig.
Well, hey, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I just have to tell you, when you, when you started in, I immediately looked at him and already thanked him for something today. So I laughed and I said, they're going to make us do this. I already gave you one. So, okay. What, and this is common. This isn't just today, but I appreciate so much. We both got home close to same time. You started writing on dinner, which I love. We both like to cook, just so you know. And, I know it's a labor of love for you and I could hear you in there and it allowed me to go do things with the kids. And I appreciate that so much about you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate that pretty much what you just said. Not only did you work with Braden on his Boy Scout stuff, but then teaching the two boys American history today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did it make you feel that she did that, Craig?
Oh, great. It's just nice, you know, even though you know it, it's nice to hear it.
Yeah. When you guys said that you do this exercise, I thought, I think we have pretty good communication, but I don't stop to do that specifically, or I guess it's assumed that you know that I love and appreciate these things that you do, but I think being purposeful and saying it, and I was even thinking, I mean, obviously it's something that we should do one-on-one, but I was even thinking at dinner time, it would be a good thing to say at the table with each other as a family. We still have two teenagers. Out of five kids, we still have two at home. But just to kind of give them that skill too, to tell each other when you appreciate them. I don't know anybody that doesn't like a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Especially with their love languages, words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Goes a long way there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nailed it.
Cool. It's funny, you know, Rob, you talked about what your dad said. My dad's advice, twofold, but one was look at your girl partner and look at her mom, and that's what she's going to be. And then physically, yeah. And my sister was, look at the way boys treat their mom, because that's going to be the way they treat their wife.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad did that too, by the way. Look at their moms, and you know, as much as she might look like a babe right now, you got to fast forward, you know, 40 years and determine whether she'll be a babe.
Well, unfortunately, when we met, both all of our parents are deceased. So, you know, I wish my parents would have been able to meet Rob. They would have loved him. And I would like to think that his parents would have liked me as well. But, you know, I know where he gets his character from.
Yep.
From your mom and dad.
Okay.
So, you know, that's what I'm going on and everything. And that's who you are.
Well, and as we get older, I think we reach back to our childhoods in a way, or the growing up phases, the influential phases with our parents giving us inputs and advice and recommendations. And it's funny how, despite everything that, you know, we learn in our lives, those are among the most important things we ever learn, including looking at the mom, Craig, which I always did.
So I tell the boy, our youngest three are boys. And so I tell them all the time, the girls, not so much. They're my bonuses and they're a little bit more wild in the dating spectrum still. But I tell the boys, because all of them are much more even keeled, I tell them the most important decision you make is really who you choose in a spouse, because there's so much you don't know that's going to happen in life. And, you know, dating is sort of that test run, but you think you have a problem, then you have no idea what's going to happen in life in 5, 10, 20 years, right? And it's really mm-hmm. having a trust and a faith in that person that they're going to walk with you. And so you really need to see the character of that person. And it's way beyond physical mm-hmm. appearance, right? Yeah. A nice person. It goes farther.
Yeah.
Oh, you're moving.
I switched devices. I apologize for that. Things seem to be working okay. Cliff and Jeannie, it's really good to see you. I've enjoyed everything you had to say. I don't know what I missed while I was offline there, but you talked about the four dailies. Could you just kind of recap those four things really quickly?
We were working on the first one, Paul, and what I think I can do is send this to you if you guys want, if you want to utilize those. The first one is either appreciating something that your spouse has done for you or the character of them. Secondly,
we share a feeling. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of sheets that have like 500 feeling words on them. You can just pull them off the internet. And what we do is we take a pencil and just put it down on the paper, and whatever it lands on, whatever feeling it lands on, that's what we go with. Mm-hmm. And so you tell your mate the first time you remember feeling that feeling as a child or a teenager. So you go back as far as you can. Well, no, first you say, I feel frustrated when my to-do list is longer at the end of the day than it was at the beginning of the day. I feel frustrated. So you give a current example, but it can't be about your mate. And then you say, then you go back to your childhood and say, I can remember feeling frustrated because I couldn't reach the top of my closet where my mother had hidden my G.I. Joes or something. I don't know. But you go back and you remember something and from your childhood. And the fun part of that is, although we've been married 46 years, there are still things that Jeannie will pull up from her childhood that I have never heard about. And so when I hear that, I can visualize her as a little girl or a teenager. I can visualize what she went through and kind of feel for that. So it helps me to connect with her in a more intimate way. I know her more fully just from telling those stories about feelings. So you do that.
And then?
Third thing is you share what you need. I need patience for the day. I need a little time. Whatever it might be, you share with your mate what your needs are for that day. And then the fourth thing you do is you
pray over one another,
which is probably one of the most intimate things that you can do. And y'all had mentioned that a while ago, Craig. But and if you're not used to praying together, one thing you can do is just hold hands and you can pray silently. And then when you're done, squeeze your mate's hand so they'll know you're done. Then you might, after that, you might just say amen, get used to hearing your voice, and then start praying out loud while you're by yourself so that when you're with your mate, you can pray with them. Because it honestly, it just is one of the most bonding and intimate things that you can do is to pray over your mate. I know we pray for them all the time, but for them to hear us actually praying over them is very, very powerful.
We also teach a class at our church that Cliff wrote curriculum for a year for them. It's called the Begin class, and they're the married, and they're with us. They're newlyweds. They're with us for a whole year, and we go through some of this, and they're looking and saying, this is a lot, but those that really lock in and do these four dailies, they are just quantum leaping over the others because they're communicating better with one another. And these aren't always easy to do because sometimes you get in a bad mood. You go, I really don't want to do this today because I'm not real happy with you. Mm-hmm. Give me time. So
that's a good point. I mean, you know, from a guy standpoint, and I have to go flashback way back when, you know, most of us guys are interested in how good you look, girls. Okay. And we're kind of less interested in whatever you might be thinking or your hopes and dreams and all that, because we're just so high testosterone. And that takes a long time, I think, for a lot of guys, especially me, to come to terms with this is another human being who has the same hopes and dreams and loves and dislikes that I do. And that's one of the more difficult things. I think most guys, well, except for guys today, but those are man bun guys. So, but anyway, I think that's one of the things that, was one of the more difficult things for me to learn over the years, was to recognize and look at.
It's not all about you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's also, looking from a guy standpoint to a female as a human being. And I'm not sure most guys, especially when we're younger in our early 20s and stuff, really understand that yet. And that's a parental issue, I think, there, where the parents have to really come down hard and make them, the boys, realize that, you know, the girls, as great looking as they are also human beings, and you can break their heart, and you must not take advantage of them, and you must look at them as the same as you, except, you know, they look better and they smell better. But I think that's one of the biggest things that people have to learn as young men growing up, that they need to respect and look at ladies as ladies and not objects. And that's not an easy thing.
Hey, Cliff, that's a good point. It's interesting, Rob. Cliff and Jeannie, could you mention too, you know, along the line of the blended families, the things that we're saying and things that we're doing, a lot of the couples that you work with as a pastor and the other things that have done these things and have gone through the trauma of a horrendous divorce for some reason or another, dealing with these look like push buttons and everything, although they know they're not. But still, when we talk about the blended families, any insight that you give to some to work through some of those where the bomb holes are so big they're having trouble crawling through those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we haven't experienced that ourselves, but we've worked with a lot of couples who have
who are blending families and our issues.
And I think that what we were talking about, making the couple relationship the priority relationship in the mm-hmm. home, the primary relationship in the home, is the first step. It doesn't mean that necessarily that you love your mate more than you love your child.
No.
But what it means is you're providing that secure environment so that they know where the boundaries are. They know that mom and her husband or dad and his wife, you know, are a team, and they, you know, they're a unit. They're the one flesh, and they're the primary relationship in the home. And it's not going to do them any good to try to work one against the other or that sort of thing. So again, it goes back to making your relationship the priority. And the only other thing I might say about that is, when you're dealing with stepchildren, just like we're dealing with any child, build a bridge of love with them. Yes. Before you start trying to discipline them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the natural parent should probably handle the discipline in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Until there's time for the step parent to build that bridge of respect and trust and love, and then mm-hmm. they can take on more of the discipline. At least that would be my advice. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys probably have something to say about that if you've experienced it.
Yeah. Well, with my both of my daughters in their 30s, early and late 30s, the fact that they've accepted Nancy unconditionally, and they love her, and she loves them, and they both know that, has really worked out well. But that's a lot different than if you have somebody that's kids with, you know, 5 or 7 or 9 or 10 years old, which then requires a whole lot of a different dynamic than what we have.
It's staying the course, being steady, being one that is authentic with the children, and then also being a patient one as well. I know of a family that's a blended marriage on both sides, and they had a bit of a rough go because there were 4 children involved. Mm-hmm. And 2 were hers and 2 were his, and then they had one between the two of them. And so the difficulty was navigating mm-hmm. his and mine and how those things work out. And then you've got the exes that are bringing in a whole lot of other things. So it's learning to navigate that. But still, again, mm-hmm. if this is important and our relationship is important and we have open and honest communication with one another mm-hmm. and there's a, also this, you've got to step back sometimes and allow, like Cliff said, the natural parent to take that on to begin with until that relationship is brought together. And there's several people and several books out there that have been written on that, but that would be my advice on that.
Yeah, and I also think that it's real important in a, that the parents have healed from their former relationship.
There you go. That's critical.
That, that the parents have done the work that it takes to heal. Because if, until they do, they're not going to be healthy for the kids or for anybody.
Mm-hmm. But so, but don't the parents, shouldn't they be consistent with his, mine, and ours and treat them all the same and just try to keep a consistent discipline type of thing?
There is to begin with. There is to begin with. But if you don't really understand where that child's coming from, but the natural parent does, mm-hmm. which, what I would do would be my advice. If this were Cliff and myself, I would rely upon what he's saying at this point in time. And I would, my job would be to support him in that, but also to build that bridge with that child so that Cliff can come in and say and reinforce when I am doing that type of discipline with them, where a unified front, in other words, so to speak, because they'll look at ways to kind of blow up what you've got going.
Okay. And, well, this is coming from somebody that didn't have any children, so this is just question.
I think that's a good point, but I also think, especially for the ones who the parent is not the natural parent for, is you have to kind of approach it, you know, walk a mile in their moccasins and understand that in the early stages, at least, the young child of the step, you know, mother or father, is not going to easily accept that step mother or father, because they're kind of ingrained genetically maybe to accept the natural mother and father. So as a step parent, it's very important, because they're going to resist and they're going to fight, and they're going to say things that you don't want to hear, like, you're not my dad, you're not my mom, I don't want to listen to you, you know, that kind of stuff. And that takes great patience and love and compassion to allow them to say all that stuff and not take it personally. They need to get it out. They need to state what is in their heart and on their minds. But they also, at the same time, will need to eventually learn that this is the way things are. And the way things were aren't there anymore. And so that's one of the biggest challenges I think a blended family has, is getting the stepkids to accept the other person who isn't their biological, you know, parent. And that's
there's the challenge. There's that bridge of love that you were talking about a minute ago, building that bridge. That's right on, Rob. Yeah, getting that bridge there. You're running out of time, but maybe we'll do this again.
Again?
Another thought that comes up is dealing with seniors, people maybe, gosh, I hate to say this, 50, that seems like way back there. But anyway, people who are 50 and up. You know, I've dealt with so many guys and ladies too in counseling, and I'd love to know later what you guys think. They're carrying a lot of scars. They've been run over. They've been dumped on. They've been crawling up out of the potholes of the roads of their life and run over again, you know, and trying to get there on a spiritual level, knowing that God is good and God will be there and they can trust in him. But on the emotional, physical level, thinking, wow, this is tough. This is a tough one. I've had people share with me, so what do you do here? And there's no simple answer. That's where the faith comes in. But that'd be something maybe we could address later, is because that's a part of that bridge on the blended family that you've all been sharing on, to see what that would be. We've got about 5 minutes, and I know maybe just for time-wise, I don't want to jump in, but there's 3 and 4. If you could just give us the names for 3 and 4, what you do to make sure the folks will have them so they could take them with them. The first one is it's a nice thing and a compliment. I feel the compliment. Number 2, and I think you said maybe there were 4, but I got to watch the time. I now have 4 minutes to wrap us out. Actually, 3 minutes left for you guys.
Okay, first thing is to admire, appreciate. Second thing is to share a feeling. And the third thing is to share what you need. And the fourth thing is to pray.
Mm-hmm. There we go. That was it.
Those are 4 dailies. They're not always easy to do, but if you practice those every day, it doesn't take but maybe 10 minutes.
They're simple, but not easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
like any
business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of keep rolling on those. Yes. Anybody else quickly have one too? Yeah, Steph, so, anybody? Paul?
So bonus blended life. That's our life. And God's irony sometimes is when he puts you in the deep, he's going to use that later. And so we've talked to so many people considering getting divorced, now a step, like I call them my bonuses, but I could talk hours and hours of what we did that was great, what was horrible. Like it's hard, and there's these sweet babies involved. You know, they're not babies necessarily, but we did recognize that if we weren't solid in our relationship, no way. They would run us over.
I think you guys are dead on. It's all about love, right? So this person is so patient, so kind. She kind of realized the authority thing. She's almost got an in as a friend for the girls, because we had two girls at the top and then our oldest son. But she was a saint. I mean, to be a stepmother is just really hard, especially if you have an ex that's trying to be divisionary now.
Oh, yeah.
I think keeping a sense of humor is important, too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's nice to kind of keep things light, tell jokes, poke some
good humor. It's so much easier when they get older, too.
Yeah.
You know, once they're past 25.
Yeah, starting to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I started writing a book. That was 2 minutes. Yeah. I started to write a book about how to survive a highly contested divorce. And the first thing I said is, just follow these seven things if you can't read the book. Number one, go to Costco, get a pallet. Load up all the alcohol you can, because it's going to take forever.
I've already done that.
Yeah. So, I survived. And then I had six other things that were important. So, yeah.
Well, it was merely shoplifting on my part, but it worked. So,
I already threw there. Well, all right. Hey, Cliff, Jeannie, we love you. We're so glad you're here, and love you as family. And we'll have to do this again, definitely, and maybe cover some of those other points. Hold your book up one more time, Cliff, if you got it right there. Everybody, take a good look at that, 40 Days to a Thriving Relationship. And we'll
put that Amazon in an ebook. Amazon in an ebook, just put in the title, or email me at cliffpoe@gmail.com, and I'll make sure you get a copy, cliffpoe@gmail.com.
Will you sign it? I want your autograph. I just, you know, it's important.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a dollar more for that one, right, Cliff? There you go, a dollar more.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're definitely gonna schedule this again. We're gonna bring this back, and what a great time we've had tonight. It's been a real pleasure doing this. Next week, we've got, just so you all know, we've got Justin Bath, the author of Daddy Saturday, a best-selling book on how to reach out to your children, especially in a blended family and things like this. It's an incredible book. Cliff and Jeannie know him well from South Carolina also. So he'll be with us next week. And the week after that, we've got Andrea Kelly, who will be with us with Infant Massage and understanding the triad on dealing with your family, with your children, how to make a home and what to make it work for them. So on behalf of everybody, we're certainly glad that you're with us tonight. And same time, same station next week. Cliff, Jeannie, love you. Hey, guys, love you too.
Nice
Steph,
to meet
you. Great meeting you guys.
Thanks. So
Cliff, you are not worthy. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay?
That's it. God bless you. We'll see you same time, same station next week, Raising Expectations on the BBS Radio Television Network next Monday. See you then.
Cool.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.